Radio.com.
You live in the country on a farm like me. Then the barn's the tallest building that you ever will see. We get up in the morning, we go out and feed the chicks. And
Jane, what song are we listening to right now?
It's a classic from Sesame Street, the country in the city song.
God, I don't think I know that classic. I feel like that was written by what the stereotype of living on a farm is. It's like something I would write, being like, I don't know, you collect chicken eggs.
Exactly. And,
which is funny because I recently had one of my bridal showers with my dad's side of my family. My aunts last weekend threw me a bridal shower, and we played one of those games where, like, what does the bride prefer, this or that? And some of them was, you know, like cookies or ice cream. I was like, I don't know. That's I probably could have gone either way. But one of them was city or country, and I'm pretty sure everyone got that right because I am very much a city girl. I like to be able to walk to everything that I need to walk to. I like the density of having people and people watching. And so, not that I don't appreciate being in the country, but I have a threshold. And so I feel like I am one of those people who can, from the outside, know that this has been a problem. This has been a problem that I think was a problem before 2016, but was highlighted after the 2016 election, especially when a lot of people thought Hillary was going to win, and there was obviously a huge disconnect between Democratic messaging and how that no longer resonated or was resonating with a huge portion of rural America, specifically in Wisconsin, because the 3rd congressional district for a long time had been purple, if not blue, and it's in the last 20 years that it's become more solidly, maybe not the 3rd, because obviously Ron Kind, but like so many parts of Wisconsin that flipped from blue to red, especially in 2016. This is the first time you and I even met, which was mid-June at a Planned Parenthood event. And I was I was just so taken with your knowledge of so many things and being, you know, what your race was and how you ran at such a young age, but then also how adamant and vocal you were, and it sounds like your mom is, on Democrats really missing the boat when it comes to a huge portion of this state, and kind of just seemingly waving the white flag and just doubling down on more urban areas of where their votes are going to come from, which taking away strategy, because whatever, but like, just like also just not the right thing to do because people need to be represented.
Well, and I mean, the Dems think that they have a strategy in rural America. You know, like they think they have a strategy.
Which is, what do they think their strategy is?
I mean, they send somebody who has never even lived there to tell the candidate who has lived there their entire life, hey, you're doing this wrong. This is how you campaign. You know, like they tell you like, oh, running ads in the local newspaper, that's a waste of money. It's like, no, it's not. Do you know the community? Do you know how important the local newspaper is? Do you know that that's supporting a small business? You know, do you know that every single person over 60 reads the local paper? And what is the group of people that vote the most?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not that they don't have a strategy, it's that their strategy is wrong. I mean, our party, we have a great state party in Wisconsin. Their problem is that they don't think that they can do better. And that's hard.
So somewhat of a defeatist attitude?
It's not defeatist. It's just that they don't think there's room for improvement. They think they're doing a great job.
Oh,
and it's like, you are doing a great job, but you could be doing better. And if you don't acknowledge that you can be doing better, then that's a problem. You know? When you have a lot of people from Madison and Milwaukee
making the calls,
it's hard.
Yeah, like
Madison, Milwaukee are super important. That's why Joe Biden won. It's phenomenal that Joe Biden won Wisconsin. But you know what also happened? We lost 2 state Senate races.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's also really important because now it's down to the wire this election of whether or not the Republicans will get a supermajority in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And where were those races? Rural areas. Because we don't understand messaging in rural areas.
So what is When you talk about values-based messaging, what is that?
So Democrats are really good at talking about policy, mm-hmm. right, and all the things we're going to do. But to connect with rural voters, you have to use values-based messaging, which is talking about values. You know, like, why should people vote for you? Not because you support this and this and this, because you're hardworking, you know, you're trustworthy, you talk about who you are more than what you're running on.
Hmm.
You know, like, you hear that all the time. Like, oh, like my opponent in the general, Lauren Oldenburg, all the time, people will be like, well, he's a good guy, you know, because they know him and they trust him. And the thing is, he is a pretty decent guy. And if it wasn't for the more radical Republicans, he would probably be a better legislator. You know, he ends up voting in step with the Republicans now.
Well,
so he votes with the Voss agenda. If Voss wasn't there, if it was back to the old Republican Party, he'd probably cross the aisle a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my favorite story from my campaign was I went with a lady in Prairie du Chien, Cheryl Motter, former mayor, phenomenal, just a great person. And I gave her a list of my target demographic was Republican-leaning women over 50. That was my target group. And I gave her a list. I was like, do you know any of these women? Would you take me to their houses? Could I talk to them? And we get to this one lady's house that Cheryl knew through church. And every single Republican yard sign is out, including my opponents. And as soon as we get there, the lady's husband steps outside. And Cheryl goes, oh, he was not supposed to be home.
Oh.
And I was like, oh boy, great. Great. I'm like, I can do this. And it was COVID, so we were going to be outside, but it was raining. So we sat in the garage. And as soon as we walked in the garage, I see a antique John Deere tractor. And I was like, retired farmer. Got it. And he told me to go sit over by the tractor because he had set up lawn chairs. And I was like, sir, I have to tell you, my family is a Case IH family. And right away he starts laughing. And he was like set on it and he starts laughing. And then we started having to talk about farming. I'm not a farmer, but my uncle's a farmer. I spent plenty of time on the farm. You know, I've done my share of fencing, of chasing cows. Like, we had a great chat.
Have you ever tipped a cow?
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Go.
Keep telling your story.
No, but so then we just had a conversation. And through my discussion with him on just our time on a farm, he learned, you know, hardworking. Like, there's a work ethic there. There's a love of community. You know, there's we talked about faith. We talked about church. Because I was really involved in my church. And we didn't even talk policy. We just talked about farming and just mm-hmm. stories. And then at the end of the conversation, he had one last question for me. And he said, I'm still voting for Trump. And I knew that he wanted to kind of get in a fight with me about Joe Biden. And I said, sir, I'm not really interested about who you're voting for president. I'm here to talk to you about the 96th. And again, I didn't play into it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, okay. And then we kind of talked some more just about the area and whatever. And 2 weeks later, when I was driving past his house, he had every Republican yard sign up but mine, and then mine.
Really? Wow. So he took your opponents down and put yours up.
And I got, I mean, not in trouble, but I was told that I should have advocated for up-ticket races. And I was like, had I engaged with him about the presidential election, not only would I have lost his vote for me, but
I wasn't changing his mind.
There's no way I could change his mind about the national election, but I could change his mind about my race. Maybe that made him vote, or at least consider to vote for Brad Paff. At least consider to vote for Ron Kind. You know, like, I got him to cross the aisle, you know, cross his ballot one time. These people are reachable.
Mm-hmm.
They're reachable if we talk to them about what they care about. You know, they're approachable, but if you go right in there, guns blaring, talking about really divisive issues, like, you're trying to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you don't even want to. And I think a problem with Democrats is we're not good at talking with people, but we're really good at talking at them.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really condescending when people come in, like with farmers, you know, a bunch of Dems who aren't even
who've only set foot on a farm for a photo op.
Who didn't get my joke a few minutes ago about John Deere versus Case IH. Those type of people. And come in and tell the farmers what they need to do. It's... You gotta talk with them.
And it's an interesting, this like, because I think so much, and I want to, when in the next segment, I want to talk about the responsibility of news and local news. Not even responsibility, but the effect of it. Because I'm interested because everything has become so nationalized of how people consume news and the topics that get so much more attention is what's happening in D.C. and the you know, the Bidens and the Kamala Harrises and the Trumps and the big national conversations. And you hear, even for local radio, right, at the, because that's what is the low-hanging fruit of what everyone else is talking about, so you talk about it too. And so instead of digging a little bit deeper and talking about things that are happening in your own backyard, it's easier to talk about that. It's a lot easier to have opinions on people you don't know mm-hmm. and will never know and never actually talk to. And so I'm interested and kind of fascinated. I've only heard recently that there is starting to be more of a movement, specifically with people in your age, so Gen Z, of because it feels so futile to try to even think that you can start to affect national politics, to go back to grassroots level, to go back to local politics, because in those conversations is where you can actually change someone's mind. And you can actually be like, you know me. Mm-hmm. And at least we can find some common ground on some stuff. I may not be able to change your mind on the national side of it, but at least in this conversation, I can. So again, I think that that is the idea that you have to advocate for Joe Biden and not just for yourself, because on a national scale, that is a very different conversation of what the president's going to do versus what you're going to do in the 96th. And so I'm excited to think if there is maybe going to be a swing in the other direction of instead of always focusing so much on national stuff that feels so broken, it feels a little bit more manageable to start trying to fix stuff in your community and in your backyard.
That's what the Republicans did, and that's why we have almost a supermajority in our state legislature.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want, like I said, I want to talk about what media, the media landscape and news looks like in your neck of the woods. Because I think what we're trying to do at this radio station, at future radio stations, is reach people who may not be getting the full picture mm-hmm. of the news. So when we come back, we will still be with Josephine Janes. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Jam into subways or buses when we want to go downtown, and a game of stickball in the garden.